We've got a couple of very special friends with us in our congregation this morning. Look around at each other and say, it's you. For a long, long time, probably longer than we realize, we have had close friends with Pastors Ralph and Nadine Trask from Salem, Oregon. Began and planted Fellowship Church how long? 34 years ago? 34 years ago, and have been in ministry there for 50 years, 50 plus years. And by the way, they just celebrated their anniversary for 54 years just last month, a few weeks back, right? Congratulations, you two. I have shared with you before the honor and the integrity that this couple bears before the Lord is really worthy of emulation. We love them, we admire them, and as you know, we are part of the Fellowship Network, which used to be called Fellowship of Churches and Ministers International. And it was initiated by Gordon Lindsay, who started Christ for the Nations as well, he and his wife Frida. They began this organization for Spirit-filled men and women of God to be able to fellowship and network together that weren't necessarily associated with a denomination, but giving a place for fellowship and strength and encouragement. And Pastor Ralph was the vice president of the Northwest region for 30 years. Now, you've met the Engstroms as well. Pastor John became the vice president for following up another 20 after that tenure ended. And I was elected last year. I have big shoes to fill. I feel no intimidation. God is so good. And what I'm saying about this is we are honored in the Northwest to have such precious men and women of God who mentor, who are friends, who help lead and guide. And we are just so glad they could be with us this morning. And we say, blessed is he and she who come in the name of the Lord. And we're absolutely delighted you're here. Pastor Nadine, do you want to come first and bring greetings? You're both welcome to come on up together and use the mic. Let's welcome them. Yes, we love you guys.
It's a great day to serve the Lord, amen. Right? Yeah. You know, some of us, I'm looking around the room, you're sort of the same age as we are. And sometimes we think, well, been there, done that, don't need to do it anymore. But you know what? Those that are coming up behind us need us. They need our wisdom. They need our understanding. They need our prayers and our support. So don't ever think I'm done. Because you know what? God was never done. Never done. So we can't be either. And you have a beautiful, beautiful area up here to sit in Hunter's living room. Excuse me. And sorry, Sherry. And watched the ships last night. It was gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. So you have a wonderful place to serve the Lord. And I'm so glad that we could be here today with you. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. I may transfer and go back and forth here. But this is family chat time. And I was so blessed to hear you all talk about your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I thought, just give me the microphone. Yeah, but I'm going to let you tell them how many. Oh, thank you, sir. Just right into this. Fine. I'm going to have my wife tell you how many we have. But first of all, I want to tell you that it has been said, as was so beautifully illustrated in Scripture today, that grandchildren are God's reward. Yes, amen. The rest of that is for not killing your children. Well, we were blessed with four precious children, three daughters, Lynette, Lori, and Leanne, and then 10 years after the youngest daughter was born, we were blessed with a son, Anthony. And he presently is pastoring the church that we founded and doing a good job. And then we have other children pastoring satellite churches in the area. So we feel so blessed and honored and humbled, I might add. Very humbled. So how many do we have now, honey?
We have 11 grandchildren. And our youngest great-grandchildren are just turned two twins.
Oh, yes, yes. Pictures are available. Just approach us after the service. We feel so at home with y'all here. You know, I was trying to think how many times we've been here. I guess this is our third time. Is that right, Pastor Kevin, third time? And we were so blessed to come some years ago and minister, and Pastor Carl was still with us then, and what a glorious time that was. A little sad, but it was glorious. And then we were here as you hosted the regional conference 3 years ago. Am I on target with that, Kevin? And you know, there's something really special about this place here. It's not the building. It's a beautiful building, but it's y'all. That's who's special. Because you have such a sweet, sweet spirit about you. And that's reflective of your pastor and his wife. You know, because the congregation often reflect the pastor and his wife. And I think that's why my congregation was so messed up for so many years. I'm teasing, of course. But let me just say about Pastor Kevin and Sister Sherry, that some of the most gracious, hospitable people I've ever met. Period. And that's saying a lot. I've been blessed to, you know, rub shoulders with a lot of God's children through the years, but they are so sweet and so gracious. And when I grow up, I want to be just like them. And this congregation does reflect that spirit of graciousness that they have. And as I was at contemplating, we've come through a season of challenge in so many ways in the last several months. And challenge doesn't mean defeat. It means opportunity. Can you say amen? How many of you have had some opportunities lately? Hallelujah. Yes. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thank God. But anyway, and as I was praying, Lord, you know, I'm a little rusty. I don't preach like 3 or 4 times a week like I used to. You know, and you'd think, well, yeah, I'm itching to get back in the pulpit. I love to minister, you know? And yet my ministry has been more individual, one-on-one. And I find that everywhere I go, there's people in need. And of course, I'm available to minister to anybody, anytime, anywhere. Having done a lot of ministry and chaplaincy through the years, as long as pastoral ministry. But I love people, and that's the part of me that makes me so happy to be here with you today. Because all of you are so special. God, you know, he spoke to you. He's by the Holy Spirit. He told you that today. Were you listening? Hello. Oh, the Lord is, he's so comforting and so encouraging to us. And I said, Lord, I'd like to be able to leave something with these precious people. And several things were going through my mind. And one of them was, I've been reading through Isaiah lately, and the first half of Isaiah is pretty much judgment is coming on these nations that are plaguing you, and then on you for not walking with me, speaking to Israel. And it's almost gloomy, but halfway through, God changes and switches tracks. And he says, now I want you to go speak encouragingly, or some translations, comfortingly, or comfort to my people. I want you to begin to comfort them. And isn't that just like our father? My kids used to line up outside the bedroom door for their discipline. I was over the anger by then, and it hurt me more than it hurt them. But they were in anticipation of that moment when I would talk to them and, you know, administer some kind of discipline. But that was always followed up with comfort, hugs, loves. I'm sorry. I love you. And that's wonderful. You remember those times? Remember those times? And I hope you always followed up with the healing after the hurt. And it just brings unity, Where was I going with this? Oh. So, Lord, I want to speak a word of graciousness to them and challenge them too. And I'm going to do something maybe a little different. I haven't done it quite like this throughout my 50 years of ministry. But I anticipate, I was telling Pastor Kevin, that I feel like the Lord wants to minister to some folks today in special prayer. And so alongside of your pastor, if that opportunity presents itself, I'd like to minister because you have the liberty to do that here. You understand not every church has that liberty anymore. Hello. I'm not being critical of them. I'm just saying I like the old ways when you could just minister as the Spirit led. So today, as I'm going through a very simple expositional sermon, at some different points in this sermon, I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, oops, I think we need to pause right here. And how many of you relate to that last point? And then I want you to stand, and I'm going to minister a prayer and maybe a few words and just kind of work our way through this process. I found that God doesn't mind interruptions. Jesus was interrupted so frequently in his ministry. People pressing through the crowd with issues of blood and grabbing onto his clothes, his garment, you know, and blind men start hollering as loud as they can, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Everybody's like, "Oh, please, be quiet. We're in church, you know." And Jesus just says, "Bring him to me. Bring him over here." Or the kids wanted attention, and they were just putting up a ruckus, you know, and the disciples were like, "Keep those kids quiet." And Jesus said, "Whoop, give me one of those." And he takes them up in his arms and said, "Unless you become like this little child, you're not going to heaven, period." You know, he had a way of taking the moment and turning it into a momentous lesson. And so throughout my life, my best ministry is when God has interrupted my plans and my thoughts. Amen. I can't help but take a walk down memory lane for just a moment. I remember one Sunday many years ago, I was a younger pastor, and we were preaching in the old church, and we had one of our dear families, and the sister had become so afflicted with her back that the doctor said, "You'll never walk again." And she wasn't walking. And so I just challenged the family. I said, "You bring her next Sunday to church. I don't know how you're going to do it, but bring her to church." And they brought her, they got an ambulance cot, put her in the back of one of those old station wagons that were 40 feet long, you know, and right in the back, laid the seats down, brought her to church, wheeled her in the ambulance cot. And where did they plant her? Right in the center aisle, you know? And so I was preaching away, and all at once the Holy Spirit said, "That's it, stop. And it's time to pray for Trudy." "Okay, Lord." And I said, "Bring her up here." And it's just stopped the sermon. And they wheeled her down to the front. Now, this is not to bring any credit to me. I'm just saying how the Lord interrupts us, how he works outside of our plans and our programs. And they just wheeled her forward. And it was, you know, I just prayed a simple prayer. And I, "Oh, God, you know, this woman has so many children. She needs to walk. She needs to," and she had a heart for ministry. And I'm like, "Lord." And so we all prayed and just believed God. And she walked out of church that day and kept on walking. Hallelujah. And I'm saying, "Lord, thanks for interrupting us. Amen. Thanks for interrupting us, Lord." So the Lord, I trust, and I'm going to help him out. I'm going to interrupt the sermon several times today. Is that okay? All right. But that means you have to listen to God and respond. All right. Well, I think it's time to end the family chat. We just love you and feel the presence of the Lord here in such a beautiful way. Couple of key verses today. One will be Galatians 6, 9, and 10. You'll recognize this right away. I don't know if it's on the screen. Yeah, there we go. And I don't know if it's there for to read or not, but this is what it says. Reading reading here the and can't even think of the translation now. But Galatians 6, 9, and 10. "So let's not get tired." Say that with me. "Of well-doing. For at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Pastor Kevin, that's for you right there. "Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone." Oh, yes, everyone, even that pesky neighbor. Especially those in the family of faith. So if you want to do good to somebody, you start with these folks right around you right now. Amen. Love one another and do good to one another. Now we're going to go to Mark chapter 6, our primary text of the day. And I'm going to just do a simple expositional sermon. And your pastor is so good at that. I follow his sermons online, and he just finished a great message from the raising of Lazarus. How many remember that message? You better. It was last Sunday. Hello. And but they remember, Kevin. I think they really do. And there's so much to be gleaned as we just walk through the Scripture and take time to think about and plant yourself right there in your imagination, if you will, anticipating what God is going to say to you. Well, in Mark chapter 6, before I begin reading here in verse number 30, we're going to go back just a few chapters and verses. The disciples had been sent forth to represent Jesus and to minister his power and grace. And they came back and said, oh, it was wonderful. And I'm paraphrasing a bit here. Why, even the demons were subject to your name, and the dead were raised, and the lame were walking, and the dumb were talking, and they were just like kids in a candy store. It was working. It was working. And they were so pumped about that. So pumped about that. So excited about that. Then there's this little sad moment where John the Baptist becomes a martyr, the cousin of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. And now we come to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Now, if I were to entitle this message today, my first title was simply Ministry Reset. But I'm going to go to Ministry Reboot, okay? That kind of goes along with some of our technology today. We all know that from time to time you have to reboot, you know? And I find that the more pictures I put on my phone of my grandchildren, the more I have to reboot it. Because, I mean, after 600-700 pictures, I mean, you got to reboot, you know? And I know there's a cloud up there, but I like to keep my feet on the ground when it comes to my family. And, you know, TMI, too much information, you can even overload a computer, you know? And you have to let it breathe and clean itself out a little bit. How many know that sometimes God's children just get a little bit overloaded? You just have to reboot. Reboot. I was sitting there in that beautiful home of Pastor Kevin and Sister Sherry's last night, and every time I've been there, I'm like, oh, you know, I look out and I see blacktop and, you know, a few trees. But, I mean, when you can look at a whole sound, this immense body of water, there's something so healing and so blessing, such a blessing about that. So I'm just in awe when I see it. So we need those moments of rebooting and refreshing. Come ye apart, Jesus said. Come ye apart into a desert place. Now that kind of brings us to where we are here in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And I'm going to read it along, and you follow along with me in your Bible. That's fine. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Have you ever been that busy in your life for God? Well, most of us find time to eat. But these apostles and Jesus, they were in demand. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. Everybody wanted to hear him. Everybody wanted to receive that healing touch of his healing hand. And the apostles were, and disciples were given that glorious opportunity to go out and represent and work alongside of the Lord and away from him as well. Things had been going really good. Seasons of our life when things go really well are very cherished and desired, aren't they? How many of you can say, Pastor Trask, as I look back on my life, there are moments when things were just really clicking. Things were going good. Everything was flowing so well. And I went through a season where, man, I just thought I was on top of the world. Now, are you ready? This is call number one for reboot. How many have ever had those times in, and have them in your memory bank right now? Good times in your life. This could be the time. Not saying it isn't. Oh, those are wonderful. Oh, I'm not going to bore you with all mine, but I think we need to stand right now and just give God praise for all those wonderful moments we've had. Would you do this for me? And God will give us a word. Father, I thank you for the good times that you have given us. I thank you, Lord, for the ministry opportunities. I thank you, Lord, for our families. I thank you, Lord, for victories over challenges that we had to overcome. And we thank you, Lord, for those moments when the heavens opened up and you poured out blessings that there was not room enough to receive them. Hallelujah, Lord. We are so blessed and we are so rewarded, God, for your grace in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. And for God would say that he that hath begun a good work in you will not fail or forget, but God will complete it until the day of redemption. Amen. All the good times are not over. I don't care if you're 95 or 105 or 55 or one of those teenagers. Your good days are not over. Say that with me. My good days are not over. I will continue to be blessed. I will continue to serve God wherever I can with every opportunity he gives me. And I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Yes, you may be seated. There were times when we didn't think we even had time to eat. You remember those times? But those were good times. You're working hard. You're getting rewarded for your work and your ministry. And what a blessing those are. Well, as we continue to follow the apostles and the Lord Jesus, they felt very justified. They felt very glad for the hear these words come from the Lord's mouth. It's time for us to scoot on out of here, and we're going to go off by ourselves and have a little R&R. We're going to take time out and just reflect on how good God is to us. So verse number 32, so they left by boat for a quiet place. They went over to Pastor Kevin and Sister Sherry's house. And you know, you can only go so far by land there, then you got to get a boat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Friends, there are times when we need that too. Amen? King James says, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while. Why? Because you're coming apart. You need some rest. You need some R&R. Now, that's a principle of God, and I believe in the Sabbath of rest, don't you? I don't care if you do it on a day, but I believe in the Holy Spirit there is rest when you cease from your labor, and the Lord rewards your efforts and your work. Now, that doesn't mean you don't need physical rest. And if you want to take it on the Sabbath, good for you. If you don't, just have a day when you rest and reboot a little bit in your daily process. And so they got into the boat, left to a quiet place where they could be alone. Now, here's the glitch that comes along here. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran ahead along the shore to get there ahead of him. Now you say, oh, this is wonderful. Not if you're a disciple. Not if you haven't had anything to eat yet. Hello. Not if you're trying to get away so you can just get a snack. And they're offshore, I don't know, maybe 100, 200 yards or whatever, but they see these masses of people going along the shore, keeping up with them. And the disciples are like, oh, my goodness. You know, can't we get a break? Can't we have a little opportunity, a little time to ourselves? And so they recognized them even in the boat, and they ran alongside. And Jesus now, in verse 34, he saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. And he said, sorry, folks. Shop's closed. Come back next Sunday. We're going to have a revival in the fall. Come back then. you know, go see your local, you know, priest, do something. But, you know, we're going to get away for a while. We're out of commission here, and we'll be offline, and we're on vacation. And that's how it is. I recently put a post on my simple little, you know, daily post, you know, and say, God isn't on vacation. Hallelujah. God don't take vacations. I'm so glad for that. But the disciples were actually anticipating a reward time of breathing and exulting over what good things God had done for them and how successful they had been. Well, and so here they are, the huge crowd, as he stepped from the boat. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Just when you think you've reached out and taught everybody you can and blessed everybody you can, someone else comes along. And maybe you are tired. Maybe you're weary. Maybe people are kind of getting in your way a little bit. And you know, most of our stress in ministry doesn't come from, certainly doesn't come from God. It comes mostly from people. Every pastor knows this, that your biggest challenges are people. And that's why Jesus died for people, you know? That's why he called us to minister to his lambs and his sheep. So these people are just insistent and relentless in seeking the Lord's attention, the attention of the disciples. And you would think, Pastor Kevin, that, you know, the disciples would have been, oh, hallelujah, look at the crowd. This is great. There's maybe 10,000 people out there. This is a pretty good sized little church we got going on here. Hello. You know, we're on top of the world, but they really wanted their much deserved downtime and rest. As I look around this room, I realize that many of you have earned your retirement, your downtime. Let's not call it downtime, okay? That's not a good word. But this change of pace that you're in, it's a wonderful thing. You know, I tell people sometimes, oh, I'm a semi-retired pastor. Well, the only problem with that, you have to drive a semi to afford that position. But, no, I'm not driving a semi. But I say, you know, there's no retirement in ministry. And there's no retirement from being a representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So I don't care if you're, whatever age you are. We had one lady in our church, which she passed away at 105, I think, and almost 106. And she was such an inspiration, you know, in church all the time. And, you know, we would be standing up worshiping like you did, and Pastor Kevin's leading in worship here so beautifully. And all the teenagers and the kids, they're sitting down after the second song. You know, their legs are getting tired. And here's, you know, Grandma Ghana back there, bless her heart. She's up the whole time just praising the Lord, you know. We're never too young or too old to praise the Lord and to stand for him and to do his ministry and do his work. And she ministered and blessed me so many times, to me and blessed me so many times. And so let's understand that it's not over till it's over, and it's not over yet. Hello. As long as you have a breath left in your body, as long as you can move or make a noise of any kind or poke a button here and there, send out a text here and there, you know, God wants to use you. You know, he wants to reach this generation through your generation too. And we need to be open to what God has for us. But sometimes people do get in the way. They can be incorrigible. They can be nasty. They can be critical. And you almost end up resenting folks sometimes. Now, I'm being honest here. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am. I hope so. And I've been, like many of you, I've been through a lot in ministry. One pastor said one time, and it was an honor to be the regional vice president here for those years, and I'm praying for Pastor Kevin that I think he's going for 40 years now. He's going to beat us all. But, you know, one pastor said, you know, when I was young and going to Bible school and getting out in the ministry, I just love people, you know. And he said, but after all these years of ministry, to be honest, I just hate them now. Now that's radical. That's off the charts. That's not acceptable. Hello. But be honest with me. How many of you have ever had a thought, you know, I thought I'd seen it all until you know who came along and tried my patience. Now it's going to get a little tougher as we go along here. I just want to tell you. This is a come to Jesus moment, honestly now. How many of you have ever had someone in your life or a group of people in your life that were extremely contrary and you resented them? I want you to do something with me the Bible told us to do. We're going to pray for them right now. Would you stand? If you have anybody. Now, you don't have to be embarrassed. If you don't stand, that's fine. But if you do, because I, you know, I'm not going to tell you all the people that have messed with me, but I'm going to pray for them. And I want you to pray. Now, you know their names, and you know the circumstance. You know that, you know, it could have been an extra neighbor, some church people, a church, a pastor, maybe your own spouse. I don't know. But I want you to bring them back into your heart and your mind for a moment, not to resent them, but to pray blessing upon them. Would you do that with me now? Father, we come to you knowing that we are commanded to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And Lord, we confess that we've been hurt. Lord, I confess that I have been wronged, and things have been said about me that were not true. And Lord, I honestly want to admit it stung, it hurt. I was disappointed, I was grieved that anybody would think things like that about me. And so, Lord Jesus, I can't go back and change what they did, but I can now come to them and pray in my spirit for them, Lord, that you would bless them wherever they are today. Just bring that name up before the Lord or that group of people. Say, Lord, you know where they are, and God, you still love them. And God, I pray that you would just intervene, Lord, on their behalf. If they're going through a trial, bring them through. If they're sick, heal them. Lord, may they have a heart for you, and may you bring them into the fullness of your blessing and prosperity. So we bless them in the name of the Lord, like Job of old. We bless our friends, even though they were Job's comforters. I pray in Jesus' name, and now we release them, Lord. They will no longer be dragging us down in our mental processes. They will no longer be a blight upon our past, but they will be, Lord, a time when you use them, God, to mature us and to help us grow. Hallelujah. Praise him right now. Father, I release them for your blessing, for your honor, for your glory. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you have been hurt by family, and that's the deepest hurt of all. And it's time to have a family reunion and start in your heart today. Start in your heart today. Release them of all liability and culpability, and bless them with this prayer of love in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you meant that, you're going to walk out of here a lot lighter than when you came in. Hallelujah. Because you're not going to carry that home with you. Thank God. And the people were just demanding attention. They needed attention. And Jesus knew their need. And the Bible says he knew what was in the heart of man. He knew what their needs truly were. And he did not turn them away. Send the crowds away. And that's getting late in verse 35. I'm sorry if this bores you, but we're going to follow them. We're going to follow them. Late in the afternoon, the disciples came and said, Pastor Kevin, don't you realize what time it is? I have a luncheon appointment, you know, and I'm supposed to meet the kids at the park, and my kids are playing in the Little League, and you know, and you're just going on and on and on. No, I know Pastor Kevin doesn't do that, but I'll show you what that's like in just a moment. But, and so it's getting late, and Jesus, and this is a very remote place. We used to have a little hobby ranch out in Burns, Oregon, by the Steens Mountain. Now that is a lonely place out there. That's why I bought it. I needed to get away from people. I could do it out there. Hallelujah. But the Lord always called me back to the city. And so. The disciples are showing, or at least feigning, deep concern for this crowd that has interrupted their vacation. Now, mind you, they have not eaten yet, And of course, they're thinking about the people, right? We're out here in the middle of nowhere in this godforsaken place, and there's nothing to eat. You know, McDonald's is closed. You know, believe it or not, McDonald's has been closed out there in the Willamette Valley in some of those locations because the water was so badly polluted by the bacteria. I went to McDonald's here for 2 weeks. I went there wanting to get a, you know, simple little breakfast, but I don't have that without my coffee. Hello. And so, no, sorry, don't have any coffee. Sorry about that. Well, I was sorry too. And I said, I'll have to find someplace else to go. And, so sometimes you just don't get what you order or what you're hungry for. And, so the disciples had a plan for that. So Lord, and they're telling the Lord what to do. You know, don't go there. Don't go there. I guess I've done that a few times myself. Now, Lord, this is what I want you to do, you know, and I'm going to even claim it in your name. But then I remember his prayer he taught us to pray. Nevertheless, you know, not my will, but thy will be done. If you pray that way, you're going to get answers. Amen. Because you're surrendered and you're broken before the Lord. But they're telling him what to do. Lord, send him away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy them something to eat. Well, I don't know if I'd want to be in that farm or village when this, you know, 5 to 10,000 people come marching in and want something to eat. Hello. That's not going to work for me. But there was a lot of folks there, and the disciples are so concerned about them that they might faint as they make their way back to their towns and villages. Sometimes we can feign love and concern in the most insidious ways, like we really care. Now, this I know this is kind of hard right here, but you know, how do you fake love? How do you make believe you really care? There's some people that are pretty good at that. I mean, they are really good at it. And it's not just a courtesy thing. It's like they have an agenda. Now, the disciples' agenda, I mean, they're not bad people. I mean, they're called by the Lord and they're ministering. And their concern now is, number one, they haven't had anything to eat yet. And number two, how are they going to get anything to eat when there's nothing to eat and all these people are there and they're hungry too? So they were thinking ahead. They were trying to give God a little help here and instruct the Lord. And Jesus says to them, this makes this outlandish request of them. Has he ever done that to you? You feed him. Huh? You feed him. Concerned about the homeless? You feed them. okay. So what do we, how do we respond to that? And so they responded with the most logical answer of all. With what? I don't have anything. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a year's supply of food. My wife and I have been involved for several weeks in closing up the estate of a dear lady who just almost made it to 95, a sweet lady, the most organized person I've ever met in my life. She was Mensa. Her name was Clara. And she was so brilliant. I'd have to take a dictionary with her just to have a conversation with her, you know. But she was a godly woman, too. And she'd talk science. She would talk theology, this and that. But her Mensa came out especially in her ability to hoard things. Now, let me tell you, when you walked in to her apartment, it was neat as trim. It was beautiful furniture, beautiful everything. She was living in a 55-plus apartment. Husband had been dead for about 25 years. Another son, their only son, was dead for about 35 years. So I kind of became like a son to her. But she used to be in my congregation. And so back in 2004, she said, Pastor Ralph, would you be my trust representee, you know, power of attorney and all that when I pass? Well, I said yes without really thinking much about it. But I loved her, and so that's why I did it. And then when just several weeks ago we got the word that she was only going to live a few more days, it was like shock to me, and I was like, I thought she was going to live forever, you know. And so we went in and we started cleaning out her apartment and yes, it looked good to the eyes you walked in, but under everything, in everything, out of sight, but very much there, was everything you could imagine stored. You see, she came from that generation that some of you were in back in the depression years and the war years, and when you saved, you had to save, you know. And I remember my dad, he was in that, my foster father was in that generation too. And when I was a boy and on the farm, we were tearing down an old shed or an old barn, you'd think you'd just get the lumber and toss it in a pile. But no, I had to pull every nail and straighten them out so we could use them again. Could never understand that. And so she'd saved everything, and they'd struggled in their early life. And so they always bought two of everything. So there was always a spare somewhere in there. And does that sound like any of you here? No, it doesn't. Come on now. You're pulling my leg. And so for the last several weeks, we've been cleaning out that apartment and just amazed at how much she could get into that room, in those rooms. I won't bore you with any more details, but it's amazing. So where was I going with that? I don't know. Anyway, what are we going to feed it with? Oh, I know where I was going to go with that. She had several cupboards filled. She was the kind of person that was going to be prepared for everything, her death and everything. Thankfully, she was a believer. And so in every room, she would have two or three grab-and-go bags. In case the big one hit or North Korea lobbed a missile over here, you know, whatever, she was ready for it. She was ready for them, too. And these grab-and-go bags were filled with everything you'd ever need for two or three weeks afterwards. And I'm like, wow. And the food, there in these closets and cupboards was freeze-dried food, you know. All kinds of burners and things to cook, boil the water and get the chicken to turn back into chicken and the vegetables back into vegetables and all that stuff. And powdered milk and everything. I didn't even know they had powdered honey, Kevin, but they do. They got powdered honey. She was ready. And I commend her for that, because I'm not. I'm ready for the trumpet to blow, though. Hallelujah. What are we going to feed them with, Lord? Surely you jest. And they said, we'd have to work for months. And the King James says, and it'd take a year's wages just to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. The improbability of it. Oh, no, the impossibility of it. Really, Lord? You're asking me to do the impossible when there's no resources here at all? Okay. Memory lane. When was the last time God told you to do something? You said, oh, I can't do that. That's just out of the question. That's impossible. You know, I'm retired, or I'm disabled in some way. I have to walk with aid of walkers, and I got my cane, but I left it home. But how can I do this? I've been a pastor all these years. Go up there and minister to these beautiful people, you know, when sometimes I can hardly even walk, you know. Lord didn't change his mind, and here I am. And I'm just saying, friends, sometimes God asks us to do the impossible. Why? Because with Jesus, all things are possible. Never say what? Okay. Yeah, never say that. But never say never, right? Never say never to the Lord. You feed them. Really, Lord? We'd have to get a job. We'd all have to work a year, months and months and months, save our money, and then go down and buy enough food for one meal. Give us a break here. I'm good at excuses, are you? Has God ever asked you to do something that you never quite followed through on? Because you just couldn't see your way around it, or a way to do it, or accomplishment. It was overwhelming, and you just kind of slipped into the slow lane and said, well, somebody else is going to have to take the fast lane. Now, I'm not going to put any pressure on you or cause any condemnation whatsoever, but I do want to challenge you to visit that place again. Something God told you to do that you've been postponing, we could say procrastinating a little bit, ignoring. It never seemed possible. But with God, all things are possible. Maybe he called you to go visit someone, or called you to visit a nation, or called you to take a trip to just visit one person and minister Jesus to them. And it just didn't seem Possible. How many would like to pick that back up again and say, I can do all things through Christ? Stand up right now if you would. I'm serious about this. If God had, now maybe you don't have this in your spirit or in your memory bank today, but you know what I'm talking about. You that are standing know especially. Father, we are in awe of your ability. We are, Lord, shocked by our own inability. And God, we bring our inability to you right now. And we give you our loaves and our fishes. And Lord, we say, take me just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And use me, Lord. Use me in whatever way you choose. And Father, if there's an unfinished business that I have yet to attend to in my life, Lord, I ask for your strength, your courage, and the faith to accomplish it. Amen. I pray, Lord, that you will show me how and that I'll be obedient, Lord, even if it's just to pray or to support someone else. But Lord, if you want us to go, if you want us to show up and fulfill that vision, that dream, that call upon our life, then God, help us to step out in faith today. Amen. And go forward believing, Lord, that this too shall come to pass. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a praise right now. Thank you, Lord. We are going to do more, and we're going to go forward by faith in his name and see the victory won in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I think I could stop right here, but it don't end here. You may be seated. And you know the rest of the story. I know you know it, but we're going to make you hear it anyway. And Jesus said, how much bread do you have? He asked them to go find out. You know, this is a time to go looking in this huge crowd. Has anybody got anything out here? You know, I mean, just to go through the crowd and figure that out and find out if anybody has anything. And wouldn't you know it, only one person out there was a survivalist. It was a little boy, okay? In other gospels we read it was a lad. We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now these 5 loaves of bread, as you know, you biblical scholars out there, these were not like giant loaves of French bread. They were biscuits. Hard little biscuits. and so, you know, the deal is we got 5 of them and we got a couple of little dried up sardines, you know, dried up fish. So, okay, Lord, so you see what our dilemma is here, right? So I'm sure by now you're convinced that we should just, forget it and go home. And maybe we'll get something to eat too. Okay. Well, he doesn't buy into that. And Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 and 100. Organization. Don't you hate organization? When it's your job to organize. You know, it's wonderful to go someplace and have everything all prepared. The conferences are all laid out. We're going to be going to our international convention here very shortly and down in the Phoenix area. And, you know, we'd love to have you come and join us, but somebody's working right now to make sure everything's ready for us. That's a good thing, but I know in all those years of service, as Pastor Kevin is finding out now, somebody has to go behind the scenes and do some things, you know, to get ready for this. It just doesn't happen. You know, somebody had to come down here this morning and turn on the lights. Somebody had to come down and make sure that the sound equipment was working and the restrooms were serviced. And, you know, somebody has to do a little organization and preparation. How many would say right now, Pastor Trask, that's not my ministry. Thank you, Lord. That's not my ministry. I like to be served. I like everything ready when I get there. But sometimes the Lord says, step up to the plate here a little bit. And some of you, I know, this congregation has a heart to serve. You have a heart to help, a heart to get behind the pastor and do what you can. And I commend you for that. Maybe you're thinking, well, I know who you're talking about, but it isn't me. Well, you might be surprised. Your presence here encourages your pastor and his wife and the other saints here. And when you're not here, guess who misses you? Everybody does. And you get these calls on Monday or Tuesday. We missed you in church. And it was the best service we've had forever. You missed it. Nowadays, we can say, well, just go online and you can hear it there, but it's not quite the same. Hello. Just show up. You know, they say that 90% of success, or is it 99%? It's a very high number of success is just showing up. Just show up. Then you won't miss anything. Amen? Praise God. And so they had to organize the people in groups of 50 or 100. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall. I guess there were no walls out there. I wish I could have been a grasshopper in the grass, watching them organizing these people, you know, and maybe getting a little bit, sharp with them from time. I told you to go over there and sit in the 50. Now count it out. No, you're in the 100 over here. Count it out. Details, details, details. They just wear on us, don't they? And when you're responsible for details, it gets tedious and wearisome real fast. Now, remind you, these disciples had not eaten yet. And when your stomach's growling and you got to do all this against your real deep heartfelt will, you're not in the best of moods, are you? Okay, I'm just saying. And so Jesus, in verse 41, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He looked up towards heaven and he blessed them.
Well, I can just see the, Yeah, he's praying. That's good. He's praying over those lunch, but who's going to get to eat it? Hello?
Who's going to do it? You know, how's this going to work? Is it going to be a miracle or there's not going to be any lunch? And so he looks up to heaven, he blessed it, and then he starts breaking the little biscuits up, and he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. Huh? Now I have to serve them too? Really? But I'm not on the kitchen committee. That's not my calling. How many of you ever served a meal at the mission or went down and served the homeless? We do that from time to time. It's a very rewarding thing, just very rewarding, and I love to do that. And sometimes I've done it when I'm like, I'm hungry too. Gosh, you know, that corn's looking real good. You know, that hash is looking really good. You know, so but they're serving the people now, and he says, now go out and serve the people. He blessed it, divided it, and so they distributed this over the whole crowd of, you know, we say 5,000 to 10,000 because the crowd was counted in males, and I'm sorry, ladies, that was wrong. And kids weren't counted necessarily, but you know they were there. Because one of the Gospels says this little lad has this lunch. So, you know, and thank God he had the heart to give it up to the Lord. Amen? You can have it, Jesus. It's all I got. I know it's not much, but just take it if you can use it. How many of you have a few loaves and fishes around that you've been kind of saving up for a disaster or something, you know, my grab and go bag is all I got. Ramen noodles, you know, and I'll give it to Jesus. Just give it to him. Well, total of 5,000 men and their families was fed that day in verse 44. But even beyond and before that, after they ate as much as they wanted, everybody got filled. That's amazing. Afterward, the disciples picked up the 12 baskets left over of bread and fish. And the Lord had actually, in one of the Gospels, told them, now go pick up the scraps. Now, wait a minute. Cleanup committee too. We found the food. We served the food. And now we got to pick up after everybody? Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up after everybody. How many of you moms out there can relate to that? Oh, yes. Pick up after everybody. And sometimes us husbands are the worst offenders of leaving things laying around, right? Thank you, ladies, for taking care of us and picking up after us and maybe reminding us from time to time that we could pick up our own socks, too. I want you to go clean up. You know, there's a youth organization in our city that became the beneficiary of Sister Clara's estate, a lot of the wonderful furniture and stuff. And And so we went by, I went by the sale after it was all over last Saturday, and here with these precious, you know, college kids just there, just picking up after the sale, taking things to Goodwill, whatever. And I said, somewhere in the Word of God, I know it's written somewhere, blessed are they who close down a sale. Amen? And they thought that was probably in the Bible too. But clean up, really? We should save that for the understudies here. Surely there's some Bible school kids out there somewhere that could do this as their service project. But no, you disciples to become apostles, go clean up. Pick up all the scraps. Any volunteers out there? How many of you have ever resented being asked to do something you didn't want to do? But you did it anyway, because the Lord was asking you to do that. You know what? If you've ever done something like that, I want to bless you right now with a prayer. Would you stand in Jesus' name? Amen. You're a little slow to get up on that one, aren't you? No, I'm not going to ask you to clean up. Pastor Kevin isn't going to do that. He might want you to put the chairs away or something, but that's about it. Okay, stand with me. Stay with me now. Father, I just want to praise you, Lord, for these people who have a heart to serve. And Lord, sometimes we've done things that really the body and the physical and even the mental part of us didn't really want to do, but we did it out of love and devotion for you, Lord, and then for those people that needed our service. And God, I ask you to bless this group of folks standing right now who have given of themselves, and others that are not even standing. Father, they have gone the extra mile. They've gone above and beyond. And Lord, they have served from their heart, although their bodies and minds were weary. Lord, reward them now with renewed strength. Reboot them, Lord, for service. New strength, new zeal, new joy, new opportunity. And Lord, we won't complain. We'll just do it in your name. Thank you for the privilege. Everybody said amen. 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 Praise God. Now just watch what the Lord asks you to do. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you, and I meant that. You are blessed. You are wonderful. And so, after they were all the scraps were picked up, verse 40. By the way, I preached from this text about 10 years ago at a conference. And Pastor Sherry was there. So if I'm being redundant here, I apologize, but I don't think you've heard it, so I'm going to go ahead with it. All right, so Jesus then immediately after this insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake of Bethsaida. Now, remind you, they haven't eaten yet. There's nothing recorded anywhere that they got any of the scraps per se. No, I say, well, somebody said, well, there are 12 baskets left over. Well, yeah, but I don't see where they had time to eat it. Maybe they snuck a little snack here, and I don't know. But by and large, they hadn't eaten yet. And you know that every time that they're asked to do something else, I'm hurting. Lord, I've just gone through the worst time of my life, and you still want me to care about others? Please, Jesus, give me a break. Well, he is. He's teaching you. He's rebooting you to what matters here. Hallelujah. And then we find that they get in a boat, and this time I don't think they just sauntered down to the boat. You know, and Gall got their seating order and everything. I was so impressed last night as Pastor Sherry pointed out this giant cruiser coming across the Sound. How many people? 2,000 passengers and 1,200? Oh, 4,000 passengers and 1,200. Wow! That'd make a nice little church right there. Amen? But it isn't the big boats that always get the biggest blessing. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I don't think they were enjoying the Holy Spirit like you folks were here this morning. Most of them were probably just very disgruntled by this time, and well, I won't go any further than that, but let it suffice to say that there are bigger boats in the ocean, but this was just a little boat, you know, to hold maybe, you know, 12, 14 people, and you've seen them if you've traveled to Jerusalem. But I think they just practically ran over themselves and each other to get down to that boat and to shove off. You know, the people are on their way home. The service finally closed and the sun is starting to set And they make sure they're in that boat and they're rowing. They're not going along the side of the shore now. They're going as far out as they can get away from all these pesky people. Hello. This is their moment to get, make their break and get away. Haven't had a vacation for 20 years. Yeah, but there's some good times coming for you. Amen. And times of satisfaction when you've made a difference in people's lives, and that's better than a vacation. That was a very weak amen. But anyway, it's true. And so now it's late at night. Disciples are in their boat in the middle of the lake. Can you see this in your mind? It's dark. Hard to see, but they're there. They're there in the middle of the lake. And Jesus was alone on the land. Now, that's a strange setup, a strange picture, isn't it? There in the lake, Jesus told him to go. And Jesus stays behind on the land, up on the hillside for prayer. And they're out there. Now, I don't know. I think I would have been like Elisha at this point. I think I said, I'm not leaving you. I'm not letting you out of my sight. But they didn't think that way. They just wanted to get away before there were more people come and interrupt their plans. Let's get out of here. But Jesus was alone on the land. Well, what happens next is a big part of rebooting. And he saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. You'd have thought the least the Lord could have done was give them a clear path, a calm sea, right? I mean, they haven't eaten. They've been serving. They've been picking up scraps. You know, they've been standing around patiently waiting for the close of the service. And now they, the beautiful sunset, and they climb in the boat. But as we know, and you know that have been to Israel, that storms come over that those mountains real fast, and those winds whip down on that lake, and it gets churned to a frenzy in a hurry. And so they're out in the middle, and it's dark. And all of a sudden, one of those storms comes along. Their muscles are aching. They're mentally and physically exhausted. And they're rowing and struggling against the wind and the waves. But about 3 o'clock in the morning, third hour of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, they think they see a ghost. Now, when you think you see a ghost, you probably have gone over the edge. You are so tired, you are so drained, your mind is numb, you're seeing things that aren't there. And they think they see a ghost. Imagine, I don't know if the stars were out, but there's a storm. The stars couldn't have been out. They probably had a little oil lamp on the front of the boat, you know, swinging back and forth and casting weird little shadows everywhere. And they're straining. Their muscles are tired. Their faces are lashed with the storm. And somebody says, do you see that out there? See what? And then the lantern swings out just, and it kind of flashes on a beautiful white, I assume a white robe, I don't know, you know, and yes, there's something there, and it's, whatever it is, it's moving, and it's walking, and it's coming towards us, and so they cry out in terror. Okay? It's what it says right here, verse 49. They saw him walking on the water, and they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost, and they were all terrified when they saw him. Well, I don't know about you. If I see something like I think it's a ghost, I'm rebuking that thing in the name of Jesus. You got no part in this, and you're not welcome here. And I know you're just a demon here to scare me, but, you know, I've got authority in Jesus' name. I'm going to rebuke him. But they, you know, they were people, and they had their legends and their ideas too, and they thought it was a ghost. Terrified when they saw him. The Lord has reduced them now down to some very basic emotions. When they thought they couldn't take any more, this comes along after the storm, or in the storm rather, and they're just, now they're mentally losing it. And I've ministered to people in that place in my life, and my heart went out to them. They didn't think they could handle any more. They're lying there in the nursing home. Great pain. Nobody coming to see them. Wondering when the storm will end. And your heart goes out to them. Will Jesus show up? Yeah. He will. He may show up through you. Nobody will ever know you were there. But they will. They may believe that all the good people are dead or gone, or people don't care anymore. But you're there, and you show them the love of Jesus. Just one person is worth it all. Just one. Some of them have lost their ability to think rationally. But you know what I found out in ministering, and I've done quite a bit of this? If they were believers in their lifetime, and I start to sing an old hymn, or quote some verses, you know what they do? They join right in. They come back to instant sanity for that moment because there's power in the word, power in praise. And they come back to a simpler, more delightful time in their life. Just sing them a song. You say, but Pastor Ralph, I'm the world's worst singer. They don't care. I don't care. God don't care. Just start singing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Sing it with me. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And you open your eyes and there's tears running down their cheeks because they're back in familiar territory again. Terrified to start with, yes. And Jesus spoke to them at once. And I'm glad the Lord didn't play games with them and tease them. Now you see me and now you don't. You know, boo, I'm going to get you. No, he didn't do that. That's not Jesus, is it? No, he don't do that. All he said is, it's me. Don't be afraid. It's me. Oh, that's that voice again. Yeah, I recognize that voice. The voice of the Lord, because the sheep know his voice. They hear his voice. Another's voice they won't follow. It's like music to my ears. Just the name of Jesus. It's me, Jesus. I'm here in the storm with you. I know you think I'm back there on the mountain, but I'm right here beside you. Hello. Now, we know the whole account with Peter, but that's not coming in here, and we're not going there. But he said, don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. And this is a word from the Lord for you because he spoke it. I want you to say with me, don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. And he is. He's speaking to you right now. You might be in that storm. You might be crying out in terror, thinking, I never thought I'd have to go through something like this in my life. But I'm here. And it's that voice that I know so well, the voice of Jesus, that still, small voice. Now, the next verse, 51, is wonderful. You know, he climbed in the boat, and the wind stopped, and they were totally amazed. We're getting rebooted here, folks. We're not done yet. He's in the boat now. We're going to move on. In one of the Gospels, it says immediately the ship came to the land where they were headed. Call it, you know, being transported miraculously, supernaturally. I don't know. But he was in the boat. That's all that mattered. The storm didn't matter anymore, and the storm ceased. Hallelujah. He's back with us again, and he never even left us. He had his eye on us the whole time. He wasn't a ghost, but there was a Holy Ghost. There was a Holy Spirit. He was with us too. Amen. They didn't in verse 52 said, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracles of the loaves, for their hearts were too hard to take it in. You can get so accustomed to miracles and the moving of God and the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit in your services, and sometimes your mind is wandering. Come on now. I know that because I've been there. I was raised, you know, in Spirit-filled environments, and I've seen miracles. I was raised back in the day of the great miracle crusades, and then I was brought up in, you know, throughout the charismatic movement and all that. I mean, I thought I'd seen and heard it all, but I haven't yet. God's going to do a new thing. God's going to do a new thing. And he's not going to do it. Pastor Kevin and I were talking yesterday. He's not going to pick some superstar with a church that'll seat 30,000. He's going to pick some humble little saint to go to the nursing home and sing Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. He's going to interrupt your day and say, now's the time to pray for that person. It may be in the grocery store line. I don't know where it'll be. But all you come and put your arm around and say, can I just have a word of prayer with you? I just want to have a word of prayer with you. And I'll guarantee you, friends, we're going to see God move again. Amen. All over the world, all over the city, all up and down the bay, everywhere, God's going to move when you and I say, yes, Lord. Reboot me, Lord. Let me see the pain around me. Let me respond again and let my heart go out in compassion to these people. And then revival will break out because others will hear. Well, that's what happened here. Hello. Come on, let's read the rest of it. They crossed the lake and they landed in Gennesaret and brought the boat to shore and they climbed out. And guess what? It's not Hawaii. It's not the Bahamas. It's a rocky old shore. But look who's here. The people ran throughout the whole area carrying sick people on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, say that with me, wherever he went, the villages, the cities, the countryside, they brought the sick out of the marketplaces. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. Hallelujah. A heart for people. And that's the heart God is asking us to recapture today, to reboot our heart in compassion for people who are hurting and they need to see Jesus. Oh, God is dealing with me and I'm preaching to myself here. But I want you to stand with me in closing. Holy Spirit, confirm your word right now. Right now, Lord. We have stood from time to time and confessed that, yes, there have been great times in our life, and we thanked you for that. And we've stood to our feet, Lord, when we got just so frustrated with people that we lost our tenderness. And then, Lord, we stood to acknowledge at times we've been overwhelmed to where we had no more strength left to go on, and we were frightened and terrified, and you said, I'm in the boat. It's okay. I'm here. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not through with you yet. And now, Lord, we stand to acknowledge the need is great all around us in this community. Even here in Port Ludlow, this quiet little village, Lord, there are people hurting and crying out for what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, and oh, what a privilege just to carry everything to God in prayer. And Lord, we can help them do that. And I pray that as we leave this place today, that Lord, every one of us will become ambassadors for Christ, for you, Lord, representing your heart wherever you go, and recognizing, Lord, that you're not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance, and that we are the representatives, the ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May we go forth from this place today, Lord, encouraged and challenged. And may we go out with a heart desiring, Lord, to fulfill your will. And Lord, if we don't get lunch, help us not to complain. Because, Lord, the time will come when we will be fed. And I praise you for that. I love you, Jesus. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kevin. We've already ministered to you, and that's all you're getting. Sorry.
Thank you so much. Well, how many heard and received from the Lord Jesus today? God is so good. The end of that passage, I just love that. As we leave this place, we recall, it says, and as many as touched him were made whole. The issue of life is we listen to what Jesus tells us to do and we go out and minister. We want to see Jesus move, not only in our lives, but in those to whom we obey the Lord and move toward. We want to see them made whole, lives made whole, lives touched and changed forever by Jesus. Great message, Pastor Ralph. Thank you so much. So many different things that many of us can hear. You know, no matter how many people there are in the room, the Holy Spirit's preaching that many messages, right? So, Father, we thank you for all that you've spoken to our hearts today. We give you thanks, and as we leave this place today, we leave changed, transformed, refreshed, rebooted, and we go out made whole in the presence of Jesus. Lord, we bless Pastors Ralph and Nadine. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Thank you for their ministry, Lord, decades-long ministry, but ministry today, right now, we ask you to refresh them, body, souls, and spirits. Lord, let them know, well done, thou good and faithful servants of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy toward us. Now, if you're here this morning and there's something more that you sense the Lord is wanting to do in your life, I know there'll be people right over here to be able to pray for you. We love you and are so glad that you've been here. If you're a guest with us, we welcome you back at any time to be with us. And let's see, John, still on for Wednesday? Invitation okay? On Wednesday at Grace Gathering, we'd like you to come 20 minutes early, 30 minutes early, 12:30, because John wants to get water baptized. And we baptize people in our hot tub on our deck, so should be nice and warm. Last time we did baptism, the heat wasn't all up. And some of you will never forgive me, but God is good. So anyway, join us for that on Wednesday. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thank you for your love, your ministry, your grace, and your peace, Lord. Now send your people out with joy. We thank you in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Be blessed. God bless. Be released.